You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Mysteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls.
Welcome to Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit the Desperate Housewives. I'm Julia, and I'll be watching this series for the first time.
And I'm Jordan, and this could possibly be my fifth time watching through the series, but I've seen it a lot.
Is it one that you fell asleep to a lot in college or anything?
No, I don't think I've ever, like, binged it as an adult. Like, I watched it weekly with my family. And then, like, my best friend and I got into it in, like, late middle school, early high school. So we would, like, watch it. But, no, I haven't, like, it's not, like, a comfort show, I guess. Like, I haven't watched it in a few years. So it's kind of fun, like.
Yeah, for sure.
Going through it again.
A lot of people we heard were excited. I've had people coming out of the woodwork. I said this a couple episodes ago, but it keeps happening where somebody will just be like, yeah, I watched that in college, like, every week with so-and-so, or there's, like, secret fans that are like, I'm obsessed with that show, and I never told anybody, and I'm like, I'm excited, you guys. Yeah. Keep shooting that at us. It makes us excited that you are excited about
and
the work that we do here.
It's fun, too, because people that, like, knew of the show and had never watched it, like, that are watching it now, they're like, oh, shit, I had no idea, like, what I was getting myself into. And that's kind of fun.
When people are like, I would never like that show.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a stigma against this show because of its name and shit, but it's a really good show, even though it's called Desperate Housewives. It's just a lot of the male fans out there. All my male friends were like, I don't know about that show. Just like they were with Sex and the City.
Yeah.
But there's been a resurgence of that in recent years. So we're glad to hear that you guys are liking it and watching and listening and having a good time with us, because we love being here to make this content for you.
Yeah, for
really
sure.
The highlight of my week.
And we hope it's the highlight of yours.
And I love my job and my life. This is the highlight. So we're happy you're here, and we hope that you're watching along, whether you're new or old or watching it for the 10th time. We're just happy that you're watching along with us. So you can do that on Amazon Prime or Hulu, or you can buy the DVDs on Amazon, I'm sure. You can buy a DVD player. So we're happy you're here. You can also check us out on all of the pages, Twitter, Instagram, email. We have a website. We don't have a Facebook yet, but we've had a fan suggest that we should get one. So if that's something you're into, message us that too, and maybe we'll start one.
Yeah. Show interest in things and we'll do it.
Yeah, I dedicate a lot of time to this. It's my hobby. Like, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. But what's going to happen today is we're going to recap season one, episode 11, titled Move On. We're halfway through the season one, you guys. I'm not ready for it to be halfway over even.
I know. We're so far. It's crazy.
We're going to tell you what went on in episode 10. So we have a jumping off point. We're going to talk about our desperate deeds, which, if you haven't gotten used to that yet, Jordan and I just talk about something desperate we've seen in our own lives, our friends' lives, our society and pop culture, because we're all desperate, just like these women and men on this show. Then we're going to go into our full recap of the episode. And then once we finish all the storylines, we do a fuck, marry, kill, which is
my favorite part.
All of our favorite parts. Yeah. We love a fuck, marry, kill here of the characters from the episode. And we do an apple rating of a scale of 1 to 5 apples of how good we thought this episode was. Jordan has a little bit more context because she's seen the whole series and I haven't. So I just base it on what we've gone through. And then the last thing that we do is we choose a housewife of the week. This just goes out to the lady we thought was above everybody else who did her wifely duties as we see fit. We're not housewives, though. We just think if they're a bad bitch, they're a bad bitch. That's our housewife. A couple of fans have reached out to me asking what they should be called if they're fans of us. We had our number one fan who DM'd us suggest Desperate Hoes.
Which I like.
I like it.
I think it's fun.
I thought that was the best.
I think that's great.
So,
and I like that it was a fan that's, I don't want to have to name you guys. I think I like that it's a fan suggestion.
Yeah, Desperate Hoes. Yeah. I love it. You guys are our hoes. It's not a negative connotation. Episode 10, what was it about, Jordan?
Okay, so episode 10 had a theme all about trust. Basically, all of our housewives, to varying degrees of seriousness, deal with trust or storylines that focus on that. So Susan basically discovers that Zach has been in hiding in her home, which
for like weeks.
Mother of the year to Susan. Yeah, apparently her, never goes into
her
Julie's
daughter,
room.
Yeah, is now 14.
But I guess, I mean, that falls into the theme. She just assumed she didn't have to worry about Julie harboring a fugitive in their house. So I guess that's fair. She decides that he needs to go home to Paul with Mike's advice. When I say she decided, I mean
Mike just suggested it and she was like, yeah.
Yeah, she like leaned into that. Then she and Julie kind of have some friction because Julie's like pissed that one, like Susan didn't ask for her opinion on what should happen, just took Mike's viewpoint and rolled with it. And on top of that, Julie's like, I've been the mom here, which we've kind of been saying that since the pilot. Like, Julie's clearly like the mature one and basically lists all the ways that Susan was kind of just checked out, especially like post-divorce. And Susan and Mike have like a heart to heart about it. And Susan admits that, like, yeah, she sometimes forgets that Julie's like a teenager, not an adult. Mm-hmm. And she and Mike kind of have like their relationship kind of progressed a lot over the episode, I guess. Like, I guess they're together. Like, that's her
next
boyfriend
level. Yeah, after you did the third person complimenting, that's your boyfriend. Zoinks. If he's saying, I like this girl, yeah. And you know it's you, he's your boyfriend.
Kind of, like, in the background, since she and Edie tend to go together, their storyline didn't really diverge, but Edie spent the episode really just kind of asking about Martha, trying to get
where
in her house.
Where's Martha? And my laptop's there.
Yeah.
Nudes leaked.
Yeah, nudes leaked. So she, like, the episode at the very, very end, we do see, like, Edie and a cop, like, knocking on the door. So there's probably going to be progress with that, I'm assuming. They kind of set that up.
They never come back to it.
Yeah.
Martha Huber just erased from the series.
Yeah. And then Lynette had the weak storyline yet again. She basically becomes jealous that her nanny is good at her job and sabotages it basically by having, like, she sets up a nanny cam with the worry that it's not going well. It ends up going too well, so she decides to sabotage it.
Yeah, Lynette's a self-sabotager.
And, like, kind of playing mind games with her poor nanny, so...
Plot twist, and Lynette self-sabotaged her career by getting pregnant on purpose.
I'll say it once, I said it in the pilot, and I'll say it again. She did not have to quit her job. Like,
yeah.
And she didn't have to keep having kids. She could have just had the one, or the, I guess the twins, and that... beyond that
we're but learning a lot about
she
Lynette.
Had two more
with her weak ass storylines. We keep learning about her,
so I don't know. Lynette seems, you're right, I think she does seem to self-sabotage.
Yeah, Brie basically finds out that Rex has been cheating on her with a woman that she knows, Macy Gibbons, and not just cheating on her, having an affair. I'm surprised that they called it an affair so many times. He's been hiring her as a prostitute. He's been paying her to sleep with her. It's not an affair. He's paying this woman.
Yeah, it's not
really an affair, but Rex has been seeing Macy Gibbons, a prostitute, on the side. Mm-hmm. And he has a heart attack while he is seeing her in one of their sessions. The same session that he admits that he still loves Brie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's scared of being rejected about butt plugs in bed from her or whatever he's into. BDSM shit.
You know what sucks about that? I didn't mention this in the last episode, but he says that he's scared of being rejected by her. Yet he's turning around and rejecting her.
Isn't that how it happens?
Like, that's so fucking hypocritical.
Yeah.
If he would hate that, why is he? Oh, man.
That's how some people's minds work.
That's so crazy.
That's how his mind works. And seen it in people where they're like, I'm so scared of getting rejected. I'll reject everybody else. And I'm like, whatever. Boring. And Rex goes to the hospital, though, has a heart attack. Brie sees that Macy signed him in, and she wreaks some havoc. She goes to Macy, and they brawl verbally. They verbally mm-hmm. brawl, and she says, I don't hate you. I pity you. Mm-hmm. And she says that because Macy says, you might hate me, but you'd hate the humiliation more. And Brie's like, don't get it twisted. And then she goes back to Rex. She decides on her car ride over to Rex what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I will take your family, your money, and your dignity. When I'm done with you, you will wish that, I mean, she doesn't say you'll wish you're dead. But essentially, she's like, I'm so glad you live so you could live to see me take everything away from you.
No, she takes her power back, not just from him, but and Macy. Like, she is like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm done. She's done being a victim.
I actually love that it wasn't an affair because she can't go see him be happy with her. Mm-hmm. Like, it was
he gonna keep paying Maisie?
Yeah, like, I guess, well, you can go keep paying your prostitute friend for that. Like, it's kind of liberating.
Yeah.
I appreciate that that's how it went down. Yeah, Gabby was dealing with trust issues of her own because Carlos went to jail for slave labor.
Yeah. Which is like, whoa.
Yeah, I bet you guys didn't see that coming if you're just tuning in.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So he went to jail for slave labor, but he claims it wasn't him. And don't they always? He's in like Jeffrey Epstein's prison right now, like low security. They're going to send him home in a minute with like an ankle bracelet that they won't monitor. He's there and they say, Gabby, you got to find his passport for him to get out because that's the only way he's going to get out on bail. And she's like, I don't know where it is, which I don't know what it's like to be married, but maybe you should know where your partner's passport is.
That probably just didn't think about it.
Might be important to have a babe. I know where the papers are in case you die.
That's true. I feel like if I were married, which I don't know.
I can't really speak.
But I feel like there would be like a spot where you're right.
My parents had like spots where they kept their stuff. Yeah. But maybe it's because they had kids. I don't know. But yeah, so she doesn't know where the passport is. And then all of her shit is getting taken away. All of her bank accounts are frozen. Mm-hmm. She pays her maid with money she doesn't have. And her car gets impounded and all this crap happens to her. She decides that she's going to save her stuff by hiding it at her neighbor's house. That's a big part of the storyline. Mm-hmm. She tries to talk to the lawyer about like what's up, and she has an empowering moment. She was my fuck last episode because of this empowering moment where she says, this shit is mine and I earned it. It's not my husband's. He didn't buy it. Like, I bought it as a model with this money. So at the end, she goes to visit Carlos and they are just feeling extra lusty because he hasn't been late in a couple of days and neither has she.
Now that John's out of the picture, yeah. She's like, oh yeah, Carlos exists.
Yeah, so they're feeling like really good and they kiss. And while they're kissing, Carlos is like, the passport's in the closet behind this thing.
With a bunch of paperwork that you need to burn.
Yeah, he's like, burn the papers, get the passport, let's blow this joint. And she's like, so you knew? And he's basically like, yeah, I knew about the slave labor. Gabby decides to burn the passport instead of the papers, and that's that on that.
I mean, she's, like, betrayed. Like, her husband was committing a horrible crime.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have burned the passport, but I wouldn't have turned it in. I would have been like, you're going to sit in prison and think about what you've done.
Yeah, I said, and I'll say it again, I still believe it. I would get him out of prison and then divorce him to take his money, like, while he's going through legalities. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. He's going through the court system. Those are our storylines. Zach went home to Paul. I think we noted that. Mm-hmm. So they're back together. Our mysteries are kind of like, will Zach and Paul ever move? Because their house was for sale.
I know.
Will Julie and Zach fuck? We still don't know who Mike Delfino really is after the Kendra thing.
I know. Susan really did not ask more questions.
Yeah, she was not really curious. Will people find out that Miss Huber's dead? What was in the trunk? What will John's mom do to Gabby? Mm-hmm. We're waiting. And then will Carlos get out of jail? How hard will Rex be fucked by Bree's lawyer is what I'm waiting to find out. Those are my personal mysteries that I'm interested in, but there's a lot going on. So now is Desperate Deeds.
Desperate Deeds.
I felt really empowered by real life Bree Vandekamp, Marcia Cross.
Marcia.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's spelled Marcia. No. But
I'm Marcia. I'm a new fan. Marcia Cross. Fuck me. I don't even know who I'm feeling inspired by. I don't even know how to pronounce her name.
No, it's spelled Marcia.
Marcia Cross. Whatever. She's my girl because I found out that she had anal cancer this week.
Well, she gave an interview where she's like, I want to normalize this. Like, anal cancer happens. Like,
yeah. And I want to talk about why she got anal cancer. She got anal cancer because she had HPV. Mm-hmm. And I, too, had HPV, everybody. It is an STI. It has a stigma. Everybody gets it. I happened to get it, and I didn't know that I had it because nobody really does. And you can have it for up to 10 years and not know. And it can go away on its own. You could have had it, passed it along, and then gotten rid of it yourself. Look it up. I got it, and I also started to get cancer. And I didn't have cancer because my doctor was really good, and he got rid of it before I got cancer. Thank God. I also had this, so I was like, it's sick that she's talking about it because it was weird when I got in. I didn't know who to talk about it with, and I didn't know how to talk about it with partners or people I was dating, and I didn't know what to do. And you're like, I could have cancer, and I don't know like how it's gonna go. So shout out to her. But my desperate moment came in the moment when my doctor told me that I was gonna have to have surgery. He told me that I was going to have surgery to like get rid of the cancerous cells that were growing in me. And he said, we have to do it now because we checked you 3 months ago and these cells are like going berserk. They're going ballistic. Like your cervix is fucked. And I'm like, he's like, do it now or your whole uterus will have to be removed. And I'm like, this is not what I wanted to deal with, but here we are. And he says, you have to have this surgery. It's called a LEAP procedure. And we basically just take all the cells of your cervix and like get rid of them and you have to grow it back. And I'm like, easy enough, I guess. Not really. Like, and he said, and I go, well, what are the side effects of the surgery? I'm like, am I going to be able to have kids? Not that I want that, but whatever. Like, what's up with my cervix after this? And he says, well, the biggest side effect is that you can't have sex for 6 weeks after this surgery.
When I laughed earlier, everybody, it's because I knew where this was going. Not because my friend had cancer. I want to make, or not cancer, but had cancer cells. I want to make that clear.
So he tells me this, and I didn't have a fucking sexual partner at this point in time, like a regular sexual. I had just like broken up with my sexual partner. And I was like, well, this is really rubbing like salt in the wound of me not getting laid right now. I didn't say that to him, but I'm like, oh, doctor, like how like flexible are we on that? Like. And he just looked me dead in the eye and he's like, well, if you have a partner that you can communicate openly with, like you can figure out something that works for you. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like thinking about my vibrator. I'm like, I guess that's it. And then I get out of the appointment and I text Jordan and I go, so like the surgery schedule's in the books, like I'm gonna do it. I'm like, but I also can't have sex for 6 weeks. And I'm like, the surgery is on Tuesday. Today is Thursday. And she goes, you have 4 days to get laid. Shocker, I did not get laid in those 4 days. And I had to wait 6 weeks. That's my desperate deed was just asking my doctor if I could get pounded. In between, how long after I have this surgery to get rid of potential cancer can I get pounded?
Like, and I hate that both of us, like, my first thought, too, is like, all right, so you got 4 days to get laid before.
Yeah, because I scheduled it. I was trying. Second part of desperate deed, on top of asking my doctor, when can I get laid? I also tried to schedule this surgery for my cancer. I tried to schedule it a month out where the cancer could grow more so that I could get laid because I had a trip planned to see this guy.
A possible dick appointment.
Yeah, it wasn't even a real dick appointment. I didn't even know, like, we were kind of still in the friend zone, and I was like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. And then on the way to the surgery, my aunt drove me, and I was like, oh, the surgery is such a bummer because I can't have sex for 6 weeks now. She's like, who are you having sex with? And I'm like, no one, but I would like the opportunity.
Thanks.
Thanks, God. Like,
make me verbalize it. Thank you. Yes.
So there's a lot of desperate deeds on that one. But I also just wanted to talk about HPV and getting tested. And if you haven't been tested recently, go get tested.
Yes, get tested.
To get a pap smear.
Normalized testing. It's not a big deal. Go and get tested.
If this has happened to you, I feel free to reach out. It happened to Marsha Cross as well. Mm-hmm. And she actually had anal cancer.
Yeah.
So mine was just cervix.
Mine's more, I guess, on a lighter note, I guess. I don't know. In college, I did. I hate this story.
I'm like, what is she going
to
say?
This came to me while, like, the other day, and I felt very upset because I was like, damn, that was pretty lame.
You're like, that was me. That was the same person I am today.
So I was like, I don't know. I started seeing this guy, and we went on this very wholesome date where we went strawberry picking. Okay? The look you're giving me is terrible. I wanted strawberries to freeze for this winter, okay? I like to eat frozen fruit.
Were you dating the guy that I just broke up with?
Were you doppelganger?
Were you guys in youth group together?
No, man. So this guy and I went, we went strawberry picking.
Did you listen to Switchfoot?
No. We just awkwardly were squatting and
I'll stop.
No, we did not listen to Switchfoot. That's a story for another day. So we picked all these strawberries. We took them to my house and they're like out. And I don't know if you've ever had like freshly picked strawberries, but you kind of have to either put them in the fridge or freeze them or do whatever you're going to do.
They're like mushy.
Yeah, you have to do it right away or they like kind of go bad like immediately. So he leaves and we had plans for him to come over the next day. Oh my God, this just gets worse.
I'm like loving every minute of
this. We had plans for him to come over the next day to like make this like dessert thing with strawberries, fresh strawberries. Okay. I was really wholesome back then, I guess. So I like didn't do anything with the strawberries. I just left them out. And the next morning I wake up and they're like already like gross. I was like, fuck.
I would have done the same thing.
What?
Left them out.
Well, I felt I started panicking. I'm like, he's going to think I'm like a jerk because we spent all this time. And strawberry picking sucks because you're like squatting the whole time because it's low to the ground. So I went to this like local farm.
You're like, my ass was fat the next day from all the squatting. Yeah.
I went to this local farm where they sell strawberries that they like pick fresh. Mind you, I was a very poor college student. I spent like the last of my money buying up strawberries so I could drive home, throw out the shitty ones, and put the purchased ones in the thing so they yep. Your face right now. Yeah, this was like brutal. I was very
young.
That is
like a bad bitch. I don't know if that's like desperate or like a bad bitch.
No, it was desperate.
I think I would have done the same thing. No, I'm just weird because I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I would have done the exact same shit. Like,
I couldn't have all of those strawberries like rotted when he came over the next day. That would have looked terrible.
So what happened? Did he came over?
He didn't notice. He never knew.
You're like, we fucked. Like, for sure.
I don't even know if we fucked. That's the worst part. I don't think we had that. We didn't even hook up enough times to justify that kind of act.
Yeah. Stupid. We've grown and we've learned.
Grant,
and grown.
I was 19 when this happened. So I feel like.
No, at 19, you're all types of vulnerable. Yeah. Like, you're still trying to, like, impress the guy that you're with, and he smells bad, probably.
It was just pointless. I was like, damn, this is like. And now I'm thinking about it now, I'm like, I would never. I would just tell a person, I left him out. Sorry. Like,
yeah,
we're going
to have
to go again.
We're having. I would have had a frozen dessert ready. Yeah. Like, I would have had like a pie, Marie Callender's pie that I bought or something.
Yeah, I would not. But yeah, I just remember little me, little 19-year-old baby me panicking that I was never going to see this
that
man
was
again.
The cutest and like the funniest thing ever. I didn't know that. I love when I know, when I learn new things about you.
Well, it's funny because I feel like that memory, like, it's like a deep pull. Like, I don't know what made me think of it the other day, but I was like, that's a good one for the desperate deeds.
Yeah, I thought of some. We are going to cover them some other episodes, but boy, I am not the same person these days.
I know. No, I'm looking at, I'm like, what
I'm
the
like,
fuck?
I am much better now.
Like, I would never.
Like, why were people even meeting me back then? I hate it. Well, we hope you're ready because
yeah,
this episode.
Yeah, we hope that everybody enjoyed those.
Yeah, we are hopefully in for a treat this episode. We think it's going to be pretty desperate. It's been getting more and more desperate as
we've
gone.
We had a lot set up last episode.
Per usual, get ready and buckle up.
Buckle up.
Season 1, Episode 11, Move On. Tom catches Claire in the nude late at night, sending Lynette into a flurry. Ooh. Carl and Brandy have broken up just as Mike drops the L word with Susan, making her wonder if she is really over Carl. Bree takes care of Rex after his heart attack. She lets him know where she stands by going on a date with the pharmacist, George. All of Gabby's bank accounts are frozen, forcing her to give up her lifestyle and find a job. And put on a sweater. It's chilly in there. Mrs. Martha Huber's sister, Felicia, comes to town, making Paul feel uneasy. He tries to spread his guilt around. Thick and rich.
I have a soft spot for Edie now.
Yeah.
I feel for her that she couldn't make any female friends, that these girls were bitches to her when she first got there, and that her only choice was Martha Huber.
I feel like I also struggle to make female friends.
I do too.
I feel like I have a small pool of female friends.
But those are like my ride or die. Yeah. It's like I do everything with my 2 to 3 girlfriends. I mean, COVID made me make choices. So yeah. I had to choose, and I chose, mm-hmm. and now that's where we are, and I feel content. I'm always down to make more, but I used to actually have a lot of stress and anxiety around making girlfriends.
Me too.
I would panic and I would be like, do they think I'm a lesbian or like, do they just hate me? Or I would always get like weird vibes from chicks I was trying to be friends with and I never knew what to do about it.
It's hard because no, but that is like a thing. Like, I feel like it's hard to like try and hang out with people. I don't know.
Yeah, they're like put off by it. Yeah. And I'm like, sorry that I want to be friends with you. Sorry that I thought you were kind of cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Edie, when she got to Wisteria Lane, that's how we open. Mary Alice is talking about how she struggled to make female friends. And they have bitchy cameos to the girls, like, from across the street, like, waving at her in a rude way. Like,
they were mean to her.
They were gossiping about her.
That shit was fucked up. I didn't like it.
She tried to tell people that she didn't need girlfriends, but it bothered her that people didn't like her. And I felt like I was being seen and heard. I'm like, I get that.
Yeah.
And then she said, even after moving to Wisteria Lane, she didn't understand why her neighbors kept their distance. But that's when she met Martha, and Martha was a bitch to her and disparaged her in the first 5 minutes. Whenever they got together, there was a connection there. She could be cruel. Like, Martha Huber could be cruel. She could be offensive. She could be mean. But, like, Edie made concessions because it was her first real friend. It was the first person that, like, talked to her and, like, hung out with her.
Well, and Edie can be cruel and mean, too. They kind of wear a match made in heaven.
There were some crazy outfits in those scenes. Like, there was an all-pink one with, like, low-rise jeans and a weird belt.
The lowest rise jeans I've ever seen. I couldn't. I was like, how are those on her?
And so now that Martha was missing, Edie was not embarrassed to admit that she wanted her friend back.
Yeah.
And that's how I would feel if any of my two girlfriends went missing. One of them's here.
Yeah.
The rest of y'all can suck it. A cab rolls up and we meet Martha Huber's sister, Felicity Tillman. And Edie's like, what? Who are you? Martha said you looked like and you don't. And then the personality comes out. Yep. And Edie's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
And she just says something like, she says that she hated her sister. But
she's like, the day she died, the world became a better place. And I was like, oh.
And she says that she had this bond, this feeling. And a few days ago, she realized that her sister was dead. And Edie's like, okay. She's like, I'm going to find out what happened. And Edie says it's normal to freak out. And that's when she's like, nah, I don't care. She was a wench. And Edie's like, okay.
At the beginning of the episode, everyone's like gathered at Martha's house where they talk about like searching for her. And Edie gives a great little performance of crying and missing her friend. And then Susan has a little throwaway line that comes back later where she's like, Edie always knows how to make it about her.
No, Edie says that about Susan.
She says that about Susan later, but Susan says it about Edie. So it's kind of like they
both. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, they both say it. Which is why it was like kind of a funny little thing. They're kind of this, like similar in a weird way. Like one's like the light side and one's quote unquote the dark side in a sense.
So that's why we love when they're together.
They have good chemistry too, those actresses. The gals are all kind of together for that. And then they are also together when they're in a forest looking for Martha because they find her car.
And we find Mrs. Huber in the end. We do. In her shallow grave.
In her her
above ground grave.
Yeah. Her sprinkled on
he
grave.
He buried her like a raised bed garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can go through that. The theme of this episode overall is like moving on after betrayal, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Not really seen in the search for Mrs. Huber, but in all the other ones. But I think in a way, Edie feels betrayed that these people wouldn't be friends with her when she's not all that bad. So maybe it's that search for her true friend that, like, really didn't betray her.
Mm-hmm.
But after that scene, like Jordan says, they all gather because there's a missing persons gathering. And they're, like, doing this news event. And they're, like, handing out flyers. And there's all these chairs. And Edie gets the performance of a lifetime saying, like, she was my best friend. Mm-hmm. And, like, Lynette, Gabby, and Susan are there, like, clowning on it.
Yeah, they're, like, clowning on it. But it still is a missing person. I'm like, this is real. It's not like she's lying about the fact that Martha's missing.
Okay, they're at the event from the missing woman, and they're like, but where is Bree?
Yeah, like, the social event. Yeah. God damn it.
They were talking about Mrs. Huber's sister and how she was talking about Mrs. Huber like she was already dead. And they were like, we're sure she's fine. She's like a roach. And I'm like, these women are savages.
Yeah, they're like really mean. Like they're kind of the bullies of the lane, I almost feel like. At least it comes across that way in these scenes.
Yeah, and then Paul is at the same event. He's trying not to look guilty. And he goes up to Mrs. Huber's sister and is like, everyone's praying for her. And she's like, I doubt that.
Yeah, she's so fucking
like. I like love her.
I do too.
Things kind of died down after the disappearance, but then they find the car on the interstate, and then everybody shows up to like go look for her, and Susan admits something big that happened with Mike. He tells her that he loves her, and mm-hmm. she like says it so nonchalantly to the girls, and they freak out and they're like, oh my god, and people come over, they're like, they found the body, and then they're like, no, Susan just told us something great. I hated everything about them being together. They're the worst group of friends ever.
They fucking blow annoying.
Everything's about them. They're the girls that are like too annoying and loud at the mm-hmm. bar, and you're like, shut. It's like at a brewery, and
yes.
you're like, shut the fuck up. And we're those girls sometimes, but like,
I mean, yeah, but whatever.
But these girls suck. They're looking for missing person. Like,
no, this is like a real, like, some possible dead body. Like, let's focus up.
And then that's when Edie's like, Susan makes everything about herself. Yeah. The next time that we see them is at the end, and that's when a runner and his dog find Mrs. Huber with her hand in the dirt, and that's like how it rounds out there.
Yeah.
But Edie and Susan, their storylines cross earlier than that. Well, they cross a lot. Yeah. So we can start there. Mike and Susan are hanging hardcore, and the doorbell rings, and it's motherfucking Carl. The return of Carl.
The return of the square-headed man.
And I love it when he's like, is it a bad time? He's like constantly whispering everything. Mm-hmm. Is it a bad time?
Yeah, he's weird as fuck.
And she says, for you, always. And he's trying to talk to her about taxes, and he just walks right in, which I noted, and I'm just tired of people doing that.
Yeah, and then he, like, meets Mike, and he's like, the plumber. And yeah. And says it like a fucking dick.
He keeps referring to Mike by his profession, which I'm going to do to belittle people that I hate.
Like, yeah.
Okay, designer.
Yeah. Yeah, like, all right, freelancer.
Musician.
Like, unemployed person.
Yeah. You jobless bum. Oh, the jobless bum.
Yeah, the jobless bum.
So... yeah, he calls him the plumber, and then Mike dips. He's like, I gotta go. This is weird.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna step out for this.
And Carl immediately goes, so he seems okay.
Like, he has any say. He's such a smug asshole. Goddamn.
Yeah. So Carl says he heard about Julie's birthday plans. They're going downtown to a restaurant open mic situation. Julie loves to sing.
I have a lot to say about that, but let's get through. Yeah.
We'll talk about the singing later. And then... Susan drops the line again, give my best to Brandy without puking in between. And Carl's like, that's donezo. Caught her in bed with another guy. And Susan is living, you guys. She's having the best day of her life. Mm-hmm. She's calling all her friends. She's like, guess what? I got total revenge. And I am excited for her. But she doesn't really do that right away. She does that after, because she hugs Carl first, not by choice. She's just like, I'm sorry about that. And he goes over the hug, and it's awkward. But next time we see them, Susan and Mike are making out on a date night with some wine in hand, and they're just talking. Susan stops with a wine glass, and she sees a flyer of Miss Martha Huber's face and turns it over. Like, fuck that.
Weird detail. Yeah. Weird. Why? Someone had to, like... That was an active decision.
It was. And Mike just looks at her and he says, God, I love you. Which I think is all weird that it's happening now, no context. But Mike's like, fuck, it kind of popped out, you know?
Yeah.
That happens. And she goes, caught me off guard. And I'm like, whatever. You've been in love with him since the moment he got here.
She's been begging for this shit. This is what she's wanted.
She should have just immediately said it back. We know she was ready to vomit it. That happens, and Mike's like, it's fine if you're not ready. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I want to say it back. And he goes, you might have issues or whatever. So this is starting off all on the wrong foot.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't get better from there. She goes, what issues? And gets up. Like, they're done canoodling. She gets up and pours herself another glass of wine. And it's about to go down.
Well, and you know what? While he didn't start it right, I do appreciate the fact that Mike's like, look, you might have some feelings for your ex-husband. I get it. It is what it is. Like, you're gonna, it'll take time. I thought that was a really reasonable way to look at it. And she, like, gets mad about that.
Well, he does something stupid in between. I don't know. Like, I guess the sentiment overall is okay, but he did some dumb shit in between. He says, never mind, I retract it. I don't love you. That's a stupid statement that he said. And I think that's annoying to say, I love you. And then because she reacted weird, is like, I'm retracted. I don't love you.
I think he meant it more like it was too soon. Like, he realized
he only says it after she's like, you think I have issues? And then he's like, never mind. He says it in a douchey way. I would have been pissed as well.
I don't know. I don't know. I kind of feel like Susan, she keeps demanding that he explains himself, though, and then keeps getting more and more angry by what he's saying.
Yeah, he says your divorce left you vulnerable. And she's like, wow, the postman knows that. Because she asked him to psychoanalyze him. So I wouldn't say she's being that fair, but I don't know. I'm not really team Mike here.
I thought Mike, I liked for the most part how he handled it. I just felt like Susan was like, she wanted him to say that, but then got mad when he said that. And she's like, and the way that she's reacting was kind of childish. Be like, yeah, the postman knows that. It's like, So are you trying to have a conversation or are you not? Like, what do you want right now?
Yeah. Well, Susan ends it, squat, and she says the analysis part of this evening is over and they don't have sex.
Also, there are a lot of candles in this episode, too. There were candles everywhere in that scene.
They're never going away.
Susan loves a good sex candle.
Yeah. So she ends that conversation and then she's like, you're going to come to the party and see that Carl and I are not a thing anymore. Just to Julie's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And he says, I have basketball tickets, actually. And she's like, I wasn't asking. And I don't know.
I think it was all Susan's all over the place in this scene. Like, I just don't know, like, what she wants.
Yeah, and then he says, this is what I get for saying I love you. And sips his wine. I could see that he's a defeated man. And she's being a little berserk, a little crazy.
I just, like, and the way that she's just, like, you're coming to this birthday, like, I don't know.
In the first world,
does Julie even want Mike there? Like, yeah. Like, okay.
Your parents don't care about you.
It's just weird. I was kind of like, what does Susan want in this conversation?
I feel like she wanted Mike to say, I feel like she really didn't know if she was over Carl or not.
But she, like, she doesn't, but she's not accepting that yet.
But in the real world, he would have dumped her so fast for this.
But that's why I think that's why I like Mike, though. In the last episode and in this episode, I feel like he's very patient. I think he
should dump her.
He's pretty patient for her manic behavior.
I think he should dump her at this point. I think he should have dumped her, like, two episodes ago.
He loves her.
I guess. Sometimes they don't even know each other.
That's the thing. I wish that more time had been spent with us getting to know them as a couple, because the scene would mean more.
People. She doesn't even know that he's, like, a fucking secret agent.
Yeah, she never. Let's go back to that really quick. A few episodes ago, she finds all the money, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I'll tell you anything you want to know. And she's like, that's all I needed to hear. Now, I thought that that would then lead to maybe another conversation. No, apparently they still have not talked about it.
Yeah, they don't know shit about each other. So that's why I find it confusing that he hasn't left her yet. I'm like, you don't even know her enough. Like, and even if you did, she's fucking crazy. She's weird.
A bit manic.
Maybe that's what you just need to do. Just tell the man what the plans are. Nope, you're going to the party with me. I don't give a fuck about your basketball tickets. Rude as
she's
fuck.
She's just being, like, that's really rude. Manic. And I just, like, I guess I have those moments, so I can't. Part of me is like, okay, well, I would hope I wouldn't get dumped if I acted that way. But also, I'm like,
someone better put me in my place. I don't have a lot of sympathy for her. I'm like, she's being crazy, and he should have dumped her at this point. Yeah, stop being crazy, Susan. But Mike misses his basketball game for this dinner.
It's a very strange dinner. It's like a piano man.
They're making people sing in front of a crowd. It's not open mic. It's not like a karaoke thing.
There's a dance floor downstairs, apparently, where 14-year-olds can go dance.
Yeah.
What's going on? Where are they? What is this place?
Yeah, it's not Saddle Ranch for once.
It just looks like some Italian restaurant.
Yeah, corny. And Julie is singing. She's a terrible singer. And the table is full. Mike and Carl are there. Susan is wearing the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It is not a scarf. It is not a poncho. It's like some weird other thing that just wraps around your
pashmina.
Midriff. I don't know what it is.
And she's got like a crazy, like she wears a lot of those like mid-rise knee-length skirts on the show too.
And that's when, after they're done singing off tune, off key, they're like, we're going to go to the dance floor downstairs, like Julie and her posse leave. That's when Edie walks in and Carl's like, what's up, Edie? And she comes over like he invited her.
As a date. They like make out.
And he's like, what, I don't get to bring a date? And she's like, kisses for the birthday boy, and they just fucking make out. It's so weird.
Everything about that was insane. I literally wrote, what the fuck is happening? And in my notes. I was like, I don't remember
like
this.
One edible deep. Yeah. Like, what's happening?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, Edie's like, I need to take my mind off Martha, and I'm here, and makes out with him. Yeah, and then Edie's singing. The next thing we see,
I wrote Carl invited Edie as a date ? What the fuck is happening? On my next note, Edie sings and it's insane. Like she's up there singing. That's not her. She's lip syncing. Someone else sang that.
I don't know what's happening. They're all watching her. They're just watching her. Like they're not even talking.
I can't tell if it's supposed to be good or not.
I don't know.
I don't know what they were going for in that scene. Was it supposed to be sexy? Because it sounded weird. And it looked weird. Everything about it was weird.
I also noted that after it's done, Carl gets up and does a standing ovation and finger guns. He has finger guns.
Julia, he's the type to do that. Are we really surprised by the finger guns?
He's like, ah.
No.
That's what he fucking did. With like the circular movement. Yeah. He's like, you killed it. He's like, he licked his finger. He's like,
no, like, no. Like,
so either way, that happens. And he's like, Susan, you're next. Carl looks at Susan and says, Susan, you're next. Would love to hear your voice. And Carl says, would love to hear your voice. And Susan's like, no, no. And Carl's like, give it up, plumber. I love, that's when he used it as like a derogatory term.
Again.
Yeah. And Susan's like, okay, I'll sing for you. New York, New York. Tell the piano player. Because that's the type of weird thing that's happening. Edie and her have a little back and forth. And one diss I did love is she said, Edie said, yeah, take a chance. And Susan's like, yeah, just like you did on those high notes. It's like, yes.
Yeah, because Edie, like, slammed her outfit. She was like, I just feel bad that you're going to have to get up there in front of everybody wearing that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, she's not wrong.
Yeah.
But also Susan was not wrong.
So it comes to a head when we learn that Carl and Edie hooked up at the Henderson's Christmas party while Susan and Carl were married. This information is revealed to us before Susan goes up and sings.
This shit's actually really fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up because Edie acts like it's so casual and like explains like move by move what happened, like with the groping almost and like all this shit. She's like, yeah, we were just standing there in mistletoe and he just like grabbed me and made out with me and like it was a thing. I'd be pretty pissed too. And Carl's like playing it off like it's not a big deal.
Yeah, because he knows he's just fucked, like it's fucked.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for Mike here because this is just like the worst case scenario. Like, not only is this epiphany happening and the person that hurt your new girlfriend, it also hurting her again. Now she's freaking out about it. I just like, oh my God, that is like my.
Yeah. So she starts singing New York, New York, and it's going okay. She's not the worst singer in the world, but then she stops a couple times and starts yelling at Carl in between. And she's losing it. It's in and out of the song and takes the mic out of the stand at one point and starts just fucking yelling at Carl.
Now, I know you said Mike should dump her for the last manic scene, but Mike, like, if I were Mike right now, I would have been like, sis, you got to get your act together. Like, this is.
Yeah, he should have dumped her then because then he could have avoided this. This was crazy, but he doesn't dump her. And she finishes the song, and that's that. I wonder how the rest of the night went for Julie.
Yeah.
We catch up with them when Carl comes to the door the next day, and Susan is like, I'm fucking busy. Why are you here? I'm like, I can't handle this. And he says, I came to apology. And this is the apology we've been waiting for since episode 3.
Yep.
When she says, I need you to apologize. And he's wearing his sweater, like, around his shoulder, I noted. Like,
and he's too bulky for that. He looks goofy.
It's not cute. It's never cute. And he comes in and he says, I can't believe, first of all, a bad apology start. I can't believe Edie brought it up. I apologize. My secret came out was kind of how it was framed.
Yeah.
But then he kind of turns around. He says, I thought I was done hurting you. And she says, sorry for flipping out. Shouldn't have let you get to me, which she should never apologize for. I think she was a little bit justified.
No, I would freak the fuck out. Like, I would freak out. I would freak out if any guy that I had dated, like, it came out that they, like, I would be upset. I'd be like, what
yeah,
the fuck?
Yeah, don't apologize for freaking out. I think you deserve to freak out about that one. Carl takes a hard left here. He says, you won't have with the plumber what you have with me. We have this spark. He's just seemed safe after me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this great back and forth. Let's give this another shot. You want me back. Mm-hmm. After the night before, it was revealed that he fucked essentially this neighbor woman. So this is out of left field, and Susan is like, wow, this is what I've always wanted. Mm-hmm. But not in a way that she wants to get back together. She's like, now my feelings are clarified. Yeah. I want to be with Mike and I love him. So she dips out, runs across the street,
throws her dish towel on the ground,
flashes everyone. No. she just runs over and like throws the dish towel, and she says, Mike, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, I don't know, like, he's pretty chill about it. He's a chiller, I guess.
Yeah, he's patient. I still would have
been like, you're a little crazy. Like,
maybe that's why they're good together, though. He's like the calm to her craziness.
That's where it ends up. And we end the episode later where she's like calling Mike from across the street being like, I just want to call and say I love you.
Yeah.
That's the kind of couple they are.
So Bree's storyline opens basically with like she's arguing with Danielle and Andrew about taking care of Rex, like, post-surgery. And she doesn't want to do it, but she doesn't want to tell them about the affair. So they are, like, freaking out, and they don't understand why she won't help him.
Yeah.
And so she finally agrees to, like, see him through it. And then, like get a divorce. And then Danielle has like the stupidest line where she's like, we're not like other families, are we? It's like, no, you kind of are.
She's like living her own teen melodrama in her head.
Yes, like, oh, that's a great one-liner.
Yeah, good one.
So Rex like comes home basically, and Bree's like taking care of him, and he's surprised she didn't tell the kids. But Bree's like an old-fashioned person. Like, she's not trying to like disrespect him, she's just doesn't want him around, like she's over it.
Yeah,
basically he tries to argue with her saying that she still loves, which like, okay, now that he's vulnerable, I guess he loves her again. I don't know what the fuck's going on. He's like,
he says, you still love me.
Yeah, because she
loves these mind games these people are playing. Yes. You still love me.
But she's like, don't confuse my anal retentiveness to like love. Yes. I was like, get it, sis. And then Bree goes to pick up like Rex's medication from the pharmacist.
Yeah, she like goes on a date with a pharmacist eventually. Yeah. Runs into Andrew. They have a like heart falling out. Well, at first he's like mad that she's on a date. Yeah. And then they have a heart to heart about it later because it's revealed that Rex had an affair.
Yeah, and Rex confirms it.
Is like more understanding than we think he'll be.
Well, and then he like almost gets mad at her again though. He's like, well, then why are you taking care of him? Blah blah blah. And
yeah.
And Bree gives like this beautiful speech about like just like, I actually really liked, I almost teared up when she talks about like why she wants to respect Rex, because, which I guess we can come back around to it, but
yeah,
but I liked the storyline. I thought it was a good continuation of what we saw last week.
I
just want to note that the pharmacist George, that actor, is the singing voice of Hercules in Disney's Hercules.
Unexpected.
That's Roger Bart. He's a, like a Broadway legend.
Unforeseen.
Yeah,
he does have a Broadway type like demeanor.
Yeah. But he's an excellent, like, Go the Distance, that famous, like, Hercules song. That's him. But he has a great voice. It
slaps.
Yeah. I love, that's one of my favorite fun facts, is George from fucking goddamn Desperate Housewives is, like, the voice, singing voice of Hercules. Like, what on earth?
Well, I hope we see more of him after this. It sounds like their date went okay. Mm-hmm. There's, like, a couple points that we can focus in on. It's really just, like, Andrew being unruly at first. He's just, like, screaming at his mom in the hospital, and he freaks out, being like, you're so selfish. And they, he says, I can't wait to put you in a nursing home. And she says, like, don't worry, I'm going to have an embolism and die young.
I just like that she's very, like, I like that Bree's kind of giving no fucks right now.
Yeah.
That was, like, a fast comeback.
She's trying to, like, hold it together, but she does cave. And I thought that was a loser move at first, but it comes full circle, as we noted in the end. She was kind of like, you wouldn't be such a bitch to me if you knew what he did. And Andrew's like, tell me, like, hit me. Hit me.
Yeah.
And then when we see Rex at home, Bree's feeding him. That's when she has her anal retentiveness comment, because Rex is just trying all the games with her.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you didn't tell them about the fair. And she's like, I kept that to myself because it's fucking embarrassing. And he says, this is an imposition, I know, I could be here for weeks, and I'm sorry about what I did, blah blah blah. And she's really not having this, and that's when Rex is like, you must feel something for me, is trying to gaslight her.
If I were Bree, I literally would have said, you wanted to be single so bad, go take care of your fucking self now that you're having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Like he didn't want her around. He want, literally two episodes ago on the golf course, he's telling her he can't wait. He cannot wait to get away from her. He has a heart attack and all of a sudden he needs her. It's like, you know what, bitch? Go find your mom. Where's his parents? They could take care of
That's
him.
That's how they are, though. A man sick so is ugly, the worst man. Type of man.
Yeah.
Is sick. Really the worst.
Why are dudes such baby? Hey, someone DM us and answer this question. Yeah. Why are men such babies when it comes to getting
and
sick?
And if you have a boyfriend, can you confirm that he is annoying as fuck when he's sick? I just like to hear other ladies
Low
say
key,
it.
My boyfriend has admitted that he is a big baby when he gets sick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Because they're all like that. My dad's like that.
Everybody's like that.
Terrible.
Men. I'm over here taking care of the fuck of myself.
Yeah.
Like, all the time, every day. I don't have anybody, guys. I'm buying a cat suit. Like, I only have Jordan and one other friend, as I said. And my coworkers, shout out.
Shout out.
So Bree, next time we see her, is picking up a prescription from the pharmacist, and it's hitting her that this is gonna fucking blow for the next 4 to 10 weeks.
Well, she like mentions that like he has like this extra risk for some other heart condition, so they have to be extra careful with his care. And she's like, God fucking
damn
it.
And the pharmacist is that guy that you meet after your breakup that's like really nice to you.
Too nice.
Yeah, he's like, you look so nice. And you're like, not that into him maybe, but like he complimented you. Mm-hmm. So you're like, you're my next boyfriend.
Yeah.
Thank you, you're next. And they just talk, and she says she saw a sickening glimpse into her future, and she had an old-fashioned cure for that, which was just asking the pharmacist out.
Yeah, really, she like covers her ring up with her hand. She's like, we're separated.
Yeah, he says, what about Rex? And she's like, we ain't together.
She's like, we're not together. Even what a crazy, like, if you're George, like, being like, what's going on? Like, he's had a heart.
Oh, my God. Like, if a dude did that to me and was like, don't worry, we're not together. The biggest red flag of my life.
Yeah, I'd be like,
yeah, really? Okay. For real? So that's that. The next time we catch up with her, she is looking hot as fuck for her date in, like, an old-fashioned way.
Yeah, like.
Like, a classy way. Mm-hmm. Like, mom at a Met Gala type event.
Yeah, she looks pretty though. You know,
yeah, she's looking good. And Rex even says so. He says, "You looking good going out?" And she's like, "I got a date, but I don't want you to get upset about it." Which she wanted him to get upset about. Oh yeah,
she wanted him to cry.
She just tells him about it anyway. Romantic date with a single attractive man. I'm going to French the hell out of him.
Yeah, she says French the hell out of him. That was
means blowjob. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it was not the best of like the best. As he's been getting BDSM fucked for like a year. Like,
yeah, I feel like Rex forgot about that. Like, yeah. He's like forgotten that he was caught.
So. Yeah, the pharmacist at the door, and he brought her flowers, and so she takes him inside and is like, remember Rex, as he's like bedridden on the couch, and puts the flowers in a vase and makes this awkward situation. They start chatting it up, and he's like, how's the heart? And he's like, how's the pharmacy? Then she's just like talking up the flowers in front of Rex, and it's so awkward. Then we catch up to them after the date, after this, and they're both like, that was nice. Glad we did this. Like, yeah, had fun. And then Andrew like rolls up and like knocks on the window aggressively. He probably just got done getting high with his friends.
Yeah, he's drunk.
And he's like, I was on my way home from Brian's and wanted to see what's up. And I'm like, I can't believe they're still letting him out after he drunk drove, hit and ran.
And got quote unquote caught with weed.
Yeah. Okay. They're still letting him out at this point. He's not grounded. And he's asking all the right questions. Why are you in this used car? Who is he? Was this a date? And she's like, we're just talking. It's a date, kind of. And Andrew keeps, like, popping into the car, in and out of the car to, like, talk to the guy. And I just liked the way they were cutting it because he'd be like, who's this guy? And then he'd be like, who are you? Like, he'd pop in the window. Andrew's like, she's married. Finally comes out. Bree is like, your dad fucked another girl.
Yeah, Bree lets the affair slip. And Andrew just, like, I think Andrew does believe her but doesn't believe her.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to believe her.
Yeah, he says, be careful with her. She's a liar. Mm-hmm. That's his ending note in the car window, and he ducks down. Yeah, that was pretty wild because you see the hurt on his face. Good actor, Andrew.
I like the actor. I think he has some, like, he's had a lot of good scenes, like, where he has to, like, I don't know. He's a good actor. I like him.
So then Andrew is following Bree around as she packs up Rex's things the next day, and Andrew's like, I talked to Dad, and I know you're telling the truth now. And that's when she delivers this monologue about don't disrespect your dad, because he says you should kick him out. Like, don't like let him stay here because of Danielle and I, we were wrong, which I love a man when he eats his words.
Yeah, I do appreciate that Andrew, in his angsty as fuck way, admits that, you know, oh, now I have the whole story. Maybe you should get rid of him.
He's like, let's put his shit on the street. I'm like, there we go. I like this energy. Yeah. But your father's love of my life gave me the best 18 years I ever hoped for. He's the father of my children. And like Rex overhears this. This is where we cut out.
Yeah. And he looks regretful of his decision. Yeah, as he
should be.
No, but it's
fuck Rex.
And I literally wrote the bitch finally feels guilty now that he's like vulnerable. Like, yeah. And what's sad is like Bree's kind of been saying this shit to his face now for 10 episodes. Yeah. So I guess it sucks that it took that conversation, but I am glad that Rex is finally recognizing like his choices have caused her a lot of pain. Yeah. Like real pain. And it's not even all about like saving the relationship or this or that. He this whole time has barely acknowledged the fact that he broke her heart. And like the cheating on top of that or whatever, the paying for what he needed, quote unquote, in the bedroom. I don't know. I think this is the first time that Rex is getting the fact that the way he's spoken to her, the way he's treated her has just been hurtful.
I agree. I think that we see him a little bit regretful there. Can't confirm until I see next episode. It was just a look on his face. Yeah. But who knows? He could be a sociopath.
Probably God is complex at this point.
Doctor.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
Well, next, let's hop to Gabrielle. Gabrielle Solis. The lawyer is over. And then shout out Yao Lin yet again. She's in a lot of these episodes now, making it diverse, making it more diverse for us.
She's becoming a main character.
We hear that the bank accounts are frozen. And she's just yelling about fixing it because she needs this money or she's going to be screwed. And Yao Lin is like, sell all this jewelry. It's
your ugly ass jewelry.
Yeah, she comes in with some lines. And Gabby's like, don't you have a toilet scrub?
She really could, though, just sell, like, that ugly-ass necklace from the pilot and get, like, 50 grand.
She could sell a lot of shit. She's not being as inventive as she could be, in my opinion. She's not thinking on her feet. No. But, well, she does something that makes logical sense.
Yeah.
She's mad at Kyle. I don't know who Kyle is, but she's mad at Carlos. He did slave labor, so she's pissed and... The lawyer's like, well, they're going to release him, but they're worried he's going to skip. We still don't have that passport, and you're not going to have money till we release him.
Yeah, basically, like, we can't unfreeze the accounts unless they, like, claim he needs money to live on.
Yeah, so Gabby's debating whether how bad she wants her old lifestyle back and whether she can suffer the betrayal, like, of Carlos, if that's worth it to her to have her old lifestyle. Next thing we see, she does the logical thing I'm talking about. She tries to get a job, which is logical, but the job she tries to get to me, in my opinion, is illogical. When she tries to become a model in fucking like nowhere, local. Nowhereville with Styria
Lane. And
that
she thinks that she's going to get anything real. It's all, of course it's going to be all like bullshit.
Weird shit. And they're like, we'll pay you $300 to... sponsored by Buick Lacrosse to be the floor woman for this Buick Lacrosse showing at the mall. That's the job that she gets. And so in my thoughts, I was just like, I think you could have gotten a better job. You could have just done some clerical work. Like, if you didn't want people to know, do a job that is not like that.
Yeah, not a modeling.
Because she's
job.
Embarrassed that she's getting the job.
Yeah, don't do a local modeling job.
Shout out Buick Lacrosse. Yeah. $300 a day for that. She runs into Lynette and Tom at the mall while she's modeling this car in like a fancy dress. And they're like, what's going on here? And they don't catch on that she's like working, I guess.
Yeah. Even though that was a weird moment because it felt like Lynette and Gabby like don't even know each other. Like the way they talked to each other was awkward.
It was super weird. Yeah. So if I saw you at the mall doing something like that, I would definitely know it was up and I would be weirded the fuck out, but I wouldn't act like I didn't know you.
I wouldn't hide the fact like
it's weird.
Everyone knows that Carlos is in jail. Why is it a big deal? Like, I don't know.
Like, you obviously need money.
Yeah.
So that's where that ended up. And Lynette and Tom just walk away. The next time we catch up with Gabby, she is like at her house where there was nothing there because she got rid of all of her shit. And Mary Alice Young is like, in spite of her debt, she wanted to prove that she could get along without Carlos's money, but her power goes out. And it wasn't until the power went out that she began to see the light. She calls that lawyer. She fishes the passport out of the fire, which, what a sturdy passport. It made it through to some degree. And
I know.
Basically, she says, I remembered where the passport is.
Yeah. So she like decides it's time to get Carlos's ass out.
So that's where we end up with Gabby, pretty short and sweet.
Yeah, she didn't have a ton of meat this episode.
That's okay.
That's fine.
We don't really need it because Lynette and Tom had enough meat.
This was a very interesting storyline to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How come?
Because I feel like I like Lynette's stories when Tom's involved because I like their relationship. And I like when we get more of a, like, look into their marriage.
I feel like Lynette's being... Okay, yeah, we have differing opinions, I think, on what went down.
All right,
because I think Lynette's being a little bit extra about it.
Okay, well, let's say what happened, and then we can get into it.
So, Lynette's in bed, writing on the back of the missing flyer, because nobody gives a fuck that Mrs. Martha Huber is missing.
I guess maybe that was the point for all those little scenes, is to show that no one gives
a fuck.
You're right. I don't know why I just now noticed
that. Yeah, nobody gave a fuck. She's writing a grocery list, and then she's like, water heater, can we buy one? We can go to the mall. And I don't know shit about a water heater. I've never been a homeowner.
That whole scene was just to set up why they were at the mall when they saw Gabby. It was not. Yeah, it had nothing to
I'm
do
like,
with.
Nobody goes to the mall to buy a water heater, but Tom's like, I'm tired. Let's talk about this tomorrow. And he turns off the light and they go to bed. But Lynette can't relax, per usual.
she's like, can you go turn the coffee maker on? I'm like, bitch, you're awake. Go do it.
Yeah, like what? I guess that's what you have a husband for, just fucking lay around. I don't know. I'd probably do that. I'd be like, babe.
But like, if I'm awake and he's clearly out, I'm like, she's so smart. She's like, someone has to, like, I'm like, bitch, just do it. Like, geez. What the heck? Like, I thought that was weird.
It's
I was
a
like,
mood. That's a mood.
I don't know. That like threw me off.
That's a mood that I get in. Can you go turn on the coffee? Yes, that's exactly what happens. So either way, she makes Tom get up and she's like, Tom, she's like poking him. Tom, get the fuck up. You're just trying to annoy your partner. And she makes him go downstairs. Claire is down there doing laundry, though. And so I'm like, she lives with them, I guess, confirmed here.
Yeah.
She strips down to wash her robe.
Because there's like spit up on it.
Yeah, you could have just waited. Yeah. I don't know, walking around some person's house naked. And I said, this is psychotic behavior to me. I would never do this at a person's house that I worked at. Tom sees her naked running back to her room and he stands there. He's on the stairs like looking down and she is like covering her tits. And he's like, he engages her in conversation.
I didn't like this.
He says, oh, I didn't know you were up. And just keeps staring. And he stares
for so long.
He says, I'm just going to go back upstairs now. And Lynette is still talking to him. And he goes and fucks Lynette.
Aside from the Lynette thing, Tom stares and lingers so long. Like, that was, like, really inappropriate for him. Like, he should have turned around immediately.
We all know an old man that would do that to us. That was gross. If this was our situation. That's a token older man thing.
Just like, dude, turn around, like. Turn around. He's just staring and smiling like a fucking pervert.
Naked nanny. Yeah, and then he fucks Lynette. And I said that I don't know that I have an issue with this. Because the next morning, Lynette finds out that he did this. That he saw Claire naked. Claire says something about it. She's like, I didn't want to come downstairs while Tom was here. It's so awkward that he saw me naked.
Okay, let's say that this situation happened to you. I guess, like, I would be more concerned about the fact that he just, like, didn't tell me that happened.
Yeah, I guess it was, like, okay.
It's not so much that he saw her naked.
How soon do you have to tell them? Because I feel like if I got a text message the next day after we fucked that was, like, I saw her naked last night, I'd be like, okay, interesting.
I think for me, like, if I thought that he was just turned on because of me and then it come to find out from the other woman, like, from the person that he saw naked that he'd seen her naked, I'd be kind of like, oh damn.
I want to say
my ego would be a little bummed.
I want to say something fucked up right now.
Say it.
Is he ever just turned on, not by you specifically, but men in general, are they ever just turned on by you?
I mean, they could at least let you think that.
I never think
sure.
that. I think
it's for sure not true this
time.
I think
that they're just turned on by, like, everything.
But, like, you've had guys, like, look at you and be like, fuck.
Okay, like, if a guy is like, I've never seen a more attractive woman than you. That's a fucking lie.
Okay, that's a lie. Like, of course. But
I'm
mean,
never
like,
thinking like that they're just like no, only but, into me. Like, no, that's just not possible.
But like, if I'm like, okay, if I'm like half naked or whatever, and my partner walks in on me and sees me and then gets turned on, I would like to think that's because of me.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't be bothered by it, I don't think. I'd be like, was
and I think
she
I'd
not?
Be bothered by the implication because this woman lives in their house. So I think like
I'd be bothered that she lives with us.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so I think if it was
if
just
it
like
it was like Sex in the City. Well, I don't know, not Sex in the City.
That's what like, okay, so if he had just been okay, let's pretend Lynette was the one going to sleep and he like decided to watch, you know, porn or whatever. Or he's watching a movie
yeah,
and there's
the
like
difference?
A naked scene, a nude scene. Then gets turned on. I'd be like, okay, yeah, okay. Let's do it. But because it's like a woman in my house that lives there.
Yeah. So you're perturbed that it's somebody you know lives there.
I'd be perturbed that it's someone that he could potentially like easily have sex with just in my house.
True.
That would make me feel a little insecure if I had to like be around this triangle of attraction.
Tom doesn't get any points because he doesn't even fucking tell her about it. She finds out from Claire.
And he stares
breakfast.
At Claire for so long. It's like uncomfortable.
Yeah. So Lynette learns about this and she's like, what? And she's a little bothered. So then they're at the mall where they see Gabby. After they see Gabby, they're going up the escalator and Lynette is like poking him about it. She brings up how this girl who helped sell them their water heater was checking him out. And he's like, huh, didn't really notice. And Lynette was like, she was so your type. Big boobs, curvy, kind of like Claire. And Tom's like, what the fuck is happening? Claire is, and I said, Claire is not curvy. She's an average looking woman.
Nor does she seem to have big boobs.
No.
I guess compared to Lynette, who is the opposite of big boob and curvy.
Yeah. So he's like, my type is you. And he kisses her, which I like. I like his attempt there. And she's like, this isn't the fuck over. And he's like, why am I in trouble? And she says, you made love to me the other night because you saw Claire naked. Yeah, that's the only reason you did. And I just liked how casually she was throwing down, because she's not saying it the way I am. She was very measured. And this is how I would have said it to my partner.
No, but I think she set it up in a way to have a conversation about
Yeah, I would have been mad. I would have been a little bit more mad.
Wait.
Yeah, now that I'm like, now that I'm reading her reaction, I'm like, wait, I kind of maybe would have been on board. I would have been mad that he didn't tell me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's one thing.
But I'm saying if he texted me the next day, I probably would have not been mad and said I saw her naked. And it was or if he got back in bed and said I saw her naked.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was the way he handled it.
I don't like that he didn't tell her, now that I'm like reading through it all.
And I didn't like that she's clearly bringing up that situation. He's playing dumb. Like, this man is going to play dumb till his grave.
Yeah, I think
he's like, huh, Claire's body? Like, why else would she bring that up? Like, come on, man. Like, are you that stupid, man? Like, come on.
Well, I think, okay, this happened to me like last year. I was seeing this guy and he made out with a girl at a party that I was at.
You had left.
And I had left and he made out with this girl after I left. And I didn't find out for weeks after. And I didn't find out from him. I found out from the girl, just like the situation. And I was pissed.
Yeah.
Because he said to like, well, I guess Tom didn't go this far. But like this guy I was seeing was like, bury it. Don't tell anybody. Keep it a secret. And I was like, why didn't you just fucking tell me? I would have preferred you told me, and like actually probably wouldn't have resulted in a breakup.
Yeah.
So yes, I stand by what I said, but I think your saving grace will be to just talk about it as soon as it happens.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, there's nothing wrong with like being turned on by someone else. Like, let's be realistic. We're human beings. Of course you're going to be. That's not the problem. The problem is like the weird like hiding of it. And then like, it's someone in your house. It's someone that your wife is, you know, or we thought she trusted, but last episode, clearly not.
But they keep talking about it and they keep talking about it all the way to the car. And Tom is like, she's a great nanny. We can't fire her. And Lynette is like, we've had other crushes before. We always tell each other and laugh about it. I'm worried that you're denying you're attracted to her. And he's like, I'm not denying that.
This is what I liked about the storyline is I like this conversation, because I think this is kind of goes along with it. It's like, yeah, of course you're allowed to have crushes or think someone's cute or whatever. But her point is like, you have the potential to act on it now. Mm-hmm. And this is where we have to be careful.
Yeah. And I like where they came to. I think this is a healthy relationship, a healthy conversation. She stops. Well, okay. Not her stopping the car and forcing him to talk about it right then and there. It was a bit traumatic. Mm-hmm. But they hold up a line of traffic and this lady comes and knocks on their window. And Lynette's like, we're busy talking about this. And Tom is embarrassed. And he's like, we got to solve this. But Lynette's like, just admit that you like think she's hot. And he's like, I do. And they're like, not a problem having her around, though. And he's like, you're the one I love. Like, it's always been you and it always will be. And so I'll let you know if there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is like a really honest place to come to. And I think it goes along with what you were saying earlier. It's like, yeah, like, of course, Tom's attracted to other women and gets turned on by other women. But it's like that's a good relationship where you can then say, okay, like, this person's a little too close for comfort now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a good boundary to have. And this happens the next day when Claire's tits are out and she's like cleaning a table in front of them and Tom's mouth is like wide open and Lynette looks over at him and is done. And Tom's like, Claire, I think we need to talk about
I do
your
like
job.
That Tom, like Lynette didn't have to say anything though. Yeah. And that Tom, there's no fight about it. Like Tom's like, all right, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is like, I like them as a couple. I like their communication and I like when they do fight that they actually get somewhere.
Yeah, I aspire to have a relationship like this without being crazy. Like
it's okay
Lynette
to have a
sometimes.
Flawed relationship. You just need to be
I wouldn't
able
even
to
say
talk
it's
about
flawed.
It.
I think it's just a thing that happens. Like, I think it's flawed that he didn't tell her right away. But it's not a flaw. That's just a choice he made and you wish it was different. But she brings it up and he resolves it.
Exactly.
That's all you can hope for. So I like where it netted out.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting. But I did have a fantasy that it would turn into like a threesome. I had that fantasy. I was like,
you and Tom both had that fantasy.
I did. I was like, is this gonna be a throuple? Like, are they gonna start swinging with Claire? Like, I was ready, but they fire her. Last but not least, Paul did something sketchy that we should touch on. When he found out that people found the car and, like, everybody's looking for Mrs. Huber, he went to the shallow grave that he buried her in, mm-hmm. took her jewelry and planted it in Mike's house while he was away.
Yeah, because everyone suspects the new guy.
Yeah, so. And then we end the episode with some little glimpses into everybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that we're all searching for somebody is what Mary Alice says. And that person, the person that will provide us with what's missing in our life. And that is maybe companionship, with Bree calling George to talk and ask him out again. Super cute. Assistance, where Lynette is hiring a new nanny that is preferably unattractive.
Mm-hmm.
Security, which is Gabby calling Carlos to make bail, that he's saying that he made bail. Mm-hmm. And then Susan calling Mike to say I love you from across the street, and he's like, bit much.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I regret. He's like, now I really regret saying
yeah, he's like, how do I break up with her?
Yeah, he's like, shit.
And then that's when the runner runs by and finds Mrs. Huber's hand sticking up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we end up with all of our ladies, all of our lovely ladies.
It's time.
Fuck, marry, kill.
It's time, yeah. Fuck, marry, kill.
Okay. I'm going to have to fuck Claire this episode.
Okay.
And Tom at the same time.
You're like, fuck it, Lynette. I'll have the threesome with them.
I'm like, sorry, Lynette, that you were not down for this. Yeah. But Claire and Tom, I get to. I'm making up that rule.
Okay.
Because it's a threesome. So that's my obvious choice, because Claire's pretty hot and I think Tom has a daddy energy that I enjoy. I'm going to marry George.
Okay.
He was super nice to Bree, and he was not turned off by everything that happened to the point that he's going to go on another date with her, probably.
Yeah.
I like that he seems stable.
Yeah, he's a pharmacist. Yeah. Normal-ass job.
He has a normal-ass job that I'm looking for. Yeah. And I'm going to kill... That's a super tough one.
I know, I'm having a hard time.
Nobody was, like, really horrible this episode. I'm going to have to kill Paul, even though he didn't have much of a thing going on, but I don't like that he's framing Mike.
Yeah, that shit's fucked up.
So, weak-ass kill choice. I wish there was somebody I hated more, but didn't happen like that.
I'm going to kill Carl, because I did not like the whole Edie Carl situation.
Oh, shit. I forgot even about Carl at this point. That's a good choice.
I just, like, really didn't like that. So he gets cheated on, and now he goes running back to Susan and tries to basically emotionally tug of war with her while she's trying to figure out if she's even moved on, and then, like, to try and beg for her back. And, like, bitch, like, he's just lame as fuck. Like, he's lame. I'm tired of him and his dumb sweaters. He's dressed, he and Danielle dressed the same.
Oh my gosh, the fucking sweater.
They dress the same.
Yeah, they do. There were a lot of polos happening in this series.
I'm going to have to, I know this is going to be controversial for you, but I'm going to marry Mike.
You buried him last episode,
didn't
you?
No, I fucked him last episode.
Oh my God, get off the mic train.
I'm on the mic train.
Why?
I like him. I like that he's, like, so chill. Like, I like that he's just,
like. Mike annoys the shit out of me. He's a pushover. Break up with her.
I don't think he's a pushover. I think he pushed back when she was, like.
Which point? Where?
When she was, like, tell me how you feel, and he tells her what he thinks, and then she gets all pissy about it. He's like, okay, well, I guess I shouldn't have said anything then, if you're gonna react that way.
Like, he answered a question.
Because he answered a question, she got pissed that he answered the question she asked. But he just handles everything so calmly.
He canceled his basketball game tickets to go to this stupid thing.
Yeah.
Pushover.
It's not a pushover.
That's a pushover move.
Okay, so you're telling me that if you invited a guy to something and you really wanted him to go, and he may have had other plans that were cancelable, you wouldn't want him to.
After I was acting like Susan.
But in that moment, would you recognize if you were acting like Susan?
Yes.
Sometimes I don't know if I would. I, like, later maybe, but in the moment.
If I was.
I feel like I'd be the one being rational. When I act crazy, I don't normally feel it in the moment.
There's times when I Fucking oh, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're like watching yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, I know that's like not maybe chill.
I guess. I don't know. I like that Mike's chill. I like it. I don't necessarily care for like him and Susan because Susan's acting crazy, but I do like that he's just kind of like, he's just like, I'm not going to make a big fuss out of anything. It is what it is. And I think that like,
yeah, I like Mike outside of Susan, but I don't like the way that he's being with... I guess, yeah, if you love somebody that much, just let them be fucking insane, I guess. Fine. Let them fucking scream at their ex-husband in front of you at a public place.
Yeah, well, I mean, he knew that she had intense feelings at Carl. He's seen it before. It's not like he didn't know what he was getting into. He saw her, like, kicking a can at him and throwing shit at him.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, he's seen all the signs.
It's not like this is a surprise that Susan's got Chihuahua energy.
Yeah.
Like, she's been having it.
Okay, you're making the case. Susan, you can marry
I want to marry... You're okay,
allowed,
look, I want to marry
You're
Mike.
Allowed to marry whoever you want in our fictional game. In our fictional game of fuck, marry, kill. I will allow you to marry
Okay,
Mike,
thank though. You. I made my case.
You don't have to make your case. I just am on a, like, not liking Mike train right look, now. It might be a reflection.
I feel like our audience can understand. We just have different tastes. Like, we got different tastes. It's okay.
But yeah, we have the same exact taste.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. And then I guess I don't know who I'd fuck. Probably I'm gonna steal your fuck. Probably they gave the most sexual energy.
There's a lot of sexual energy there.
So like, sure, yeah. No one else this episode was really giving me sexual vibes. Well, and Tom is hot.
Tom is pretty hot.
He's hot.
Yeah, he's got like a dopey haircut, but that kind of adds to his charm.
And I like the way he talks.
I do too.
There's something about
being sexual about
Tom. Maybe I'm starting to understand why I would Lena like let him impregnate her so many times.
Oh shit.
I'm like, dang, maybe that's why she just can't help herself with him. I don't know.
You see me missing those pills. I'm just kidding. I don't take the pill. But
yeah, so I guess I would steal that. But Housewife of the Week, who would you put?
That's also a toughie.
In my notes, I put Lynette for consideration because I liked that she stood up for how she was feeling, made her feelings known, and like had a conversation about it. Whereas Susan's like screaming and going crazy and being manic.
Yeah.
Bree's like playing
Bree's
this game.
Playing game, and Gabby is just Gabby.
Yeah. And so I think I like that Lynette like stood her ground with how she felt but wasn't unreasonable.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Lynette. She did have open and clear communication mm-hmm. after playing a few games.
Yeah.
There were a couple lines of games, but she communicated with Tom what she wanted. She set a boundary that if things go too far, you need to do something about it, mm-hmm. which he observes, which I appreciated. And
I guess
I feel like she didn't go as crazy as she could have. She could have gone crazier.
I guess, like, if I were her, like, just putting myself in those shoes, like, I would feel insecure about the situation. And then I would feel like I didn't want to make a big deal out of something, out of nothing. So I guess, like, I respect the fact that she brought up a topic that might have been uncomfortable. So,
I agree. I think Lynette gets housewife. And we have never chosen her as housewife, I don't think. Because she has weak-ass storylines, usually.
Or, like, she's got an addiction. Either she's addicted to something, yeah. or she's got a terrible storyline.
Maybe we should have given her the housewife back then. Okay, and then we have our Apple rating.
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. 3.75.
Flipped from last episode.
I know. I just didn't want to go that high because Gabby really had a throwaway.
Gabby had a throwaway, but it wasn't like last week to me, Lynette's storyline like almost worked against the episode.
Yeah.
Whereas Gabby's was just like, I was indifferent towards it. So I think that's why I let the 4 stay.
Okay.
But I did really like, I feel like this episode brought up a lot of good conversation topics. Like, I kind of like when we don't always agree with stuff. And this was fun, though. Like, I think, like Susan and Mike's storyline brought up a lot of, like, nuances in relationships.
Yeah.
And Lynette and Tom, like, that brought up, like, a good, like, topic of, like, not necessarily cheating, but, like, where do you draw the line with, like, lust like that?
Yeah. I thought that was one of the most interesting things that's been brought up and how it was handled.
Well, and it wasn't, like, I don't feel like any of the storylines really had, like, huge things that happened. But they all brought up, like... Or not all of them, but most of them brought up stuff in relationships that I think we can all relate to.
Yeah, I agree. I can't wait to hear myself contradict myself 100 times on this podcast, this episode particularly. But it got a little bit lower marks for me because Gabby's was a throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
Also, none of the mysteries really moved along. Yeah, we were searching for Martha Huber, but she's still dead. Juanita is still in a coma. We haven't
mentioned her.
Talked about that. Where is John Roland? What's going to happen with his mother? Macy Gibbons. Like, and I know that they can't hit on everything. Yeah. The trunk. Zach. Like, what's up?
I will say that they are setting something up, though, by the ring in Mike's
garage.
Yeah,
they're setting things up. And I know that this isn't the 10-episode series that I'm used to in 2021. Like,
yeah.
But
things move slow.
Things are moving a bit slow. And I wanted to see a little bit more on that front or something really dramatic, because we had like several dramatic episodes, like Lynette having a heart to heart with our 5-star episode 8. Yeah. And then with like the car crash and all that stuff, like that was pretty epic. And then I feel like we've been in like a low zone right now. And so it got a little bit lower marks for me, although I thought there was meat and discussion topics and other storylines.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. This, I wouldn't say it's a filler episode, but it was definitely an episode that focused more on just like the individual like personalities of our housewives. But I do wish we got a little more from Gabby. I almost wish that Carlos had come out of jail earlier in the episode and we got more scenes between like him and her discussing her going to work and shit like that. I feel like that would have been more interesting.
That would have been a great. I mean, then we would have gotten up in the 4 zone because I did like that she just decided to go to work. I liked that she tried to take things in her own hands, but just gave up.
Yeah.
Like a nice failure after you try.
Yeah.
But she didn't just sit around and I respected that. So it's, I'm liking Gabby a lot more that Carlos and John are gone.
Low-key, like, yeah. John, this John storyline, just, like I said, you can't root for her while that's happening.
Yeah, but I can root. Yeah, I'm glad that I can root for her a little bit now when she's going through struggle.
Yeah.
But it doesn't erase the fact she fucked a 16-year-old.
No, it doesn't.
That's on your record forever, so don't do that.
No, you can't, like, that's not just, like, a mistake, and it's not like she did it once, too. That was, like, at least a year.
All the time.
At least a year.
I'm not okay. Yeah.
No, that shit's crazy.
Well, you guys, that's where we wrap up.
That is where we wrap up.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Mm-hmm. We hope we gave you things to think about.
Yeah.
Don't hate me for contradicting myself every other day.
No, that was a good discussion. I think we both kind of like, we shifted our opinions on things.
I read like 5 more notes and I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I was completely wrong. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you're watching along or just listening. Whatever you're doing, we would love to hear what you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. If you're watching each episode at a time or just like you've already seen it all, let us know. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter and email us. Just do whatever.
At all the platforms.
Yeah, rate and review. That super helps us. We appreciate all of you listening. And as always, catch us next Monday.
Every Monday.
And know your neighbors.
Know your neighbors.